Chapter 4, Restore. What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. Ralph Waldo Emerson. Dark and light cycles of life. Breathe intentionally while you imagine, sense, and feel. You open a door, entering an unexplored room at the far side of the museum. As you enter, the door automatically shuts behind you. You are surrounded by complete darkness in a room you have never been in before. A room which contains many valuable things. The room and all the contents within it exist whether you turn on the light or not, right? Do you feel scared of the dark? Do you immediately go back out the door you came in? Or do you search for the light switch? The light comes on just as you make your decision. Amazed as you take it all in. It's as if this room was curated by your soul. To think, you almost allowed fear to contract this experience. Take it all in, and then imagine the same situation, but at home. You walk into the darkness of a known territory. You feel more comfortable seeking the light there. Even if you experience pain, bumping into an item or two, it doesn't persuade you from knowing the present darkness is temporary. There is light and there is darkness. You have the power to shine a light, flip the switch, and transmute darkness. Be brave like the moon and honor your light energy cycles, trusting the sun supports you as you rise steadily. Those that are full of light attract darkness. Those that are full of darkness are attracted to the light, and then often project their own darkness onto the light. We are all light beings with unprocessed darkness. How processed is your darkness? Is your house dimly lit? Your eternal light will seek shining on the darkness stored inside of you and outside of you so you can see it, so you can transmute it. Feel into your alignment and transmute any darkness with love and compassion. Forgiving the light lost to darkness, returning the darkness to light. Perception is reception. You can choose to restore your inner divinity, your inner universal value. Restore the unique offering held inside. Return to the light within and project it without. Nurturing beauty. It's one thing to notice a beautiful flower, and it's another to pick it, and entirely another to carefully dig the flower up by its roots, gently transport and replant it in a nourishing environment you prepared for it to thrive. If you understand how to care for the flower, you will benefit from its beautiful life. Just like it's one thing to notice a beautiful human, quite another to use them to meet a need. And entirely different than understanding, nourishing, supporting, and loving them to each other's mutual benefit. In order to choose growth, one must create an environment for mutual expansion of love. To love is to seek to evolve understanding and nurture the divine intelligence of nature in people and all life forms presently before you. It's much deeper than surface appearances or needs. It is rooted in eternal presence. Nature's diversity is what creates such boundless beauty. You can love and appreciate all the beauty all around you, yet choose only to cultivate and nourish that which you can give proper time, energy, and focus to thrive. Life is full, choices matter, matters change. I would have 1,000,000 dogs if I could train them. I have 2, and they both would gladly accept more love and training. If you wanted and had the financial resources in America, you could choose to eat every moment of your waking life, stuffing yourself to death. But you can never read all the literature, taste all the food, see all the art, listen to all the music, learn all the languages, hear all the incredible conversations, witness love in all its expressions. But you can cultivate love, certainly over hate. You can focus on beauty, not ugliness. Even if you hate things or find them ugly, you don't have to cultivate them. You can move away from them and focus attention on that which you want, moment after moment, neutralize and transmute preferences that you don't want. Focus. All emotional states deepen with attention. It is an ever-evolving stage of development, deciding what and who you want to hold close. It's always fun to have new experiences, but when you have the right nutrients, you can rest knowing you are surrounded by conscious, eternal love, an embodied birthright of attention. When you tune in to others' nature and choose the nature you want to nurture while co-creating evolution. What grows in the dark? It's okay to grieve what was that isn't any longer, and what isn't that is wanted, desired, and remains unfulfilled. Grief is an expression of lost love, and quite beautiful if you honor and allow it to process. If you are waiting on permission to turn on the lights after a dark day, night, month, year, lifetime, know you are the only one that can walk in the door and flip on the switch. You'll find your ever-present, loving parent mind is waiting up for you. The grief cycle acronym, DABDA, was experienced through Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's work and has struck a harmonious chord within humans everywhere since 1969. It stands for denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. A mini DABDA can occur anytime life doesn't go the way you want it to. It can be small and easy to process and accept, like your drink order is wrong, or it can be big and difficult to process and accept, like your choice in career is wrong. Acceptance brings clarity and liberates stuck emotional energy patterns in the mind and body. Acceptance leads to action towards alignment. Denial leads to stuck energy patterns in mind and body. Are you currently bound in the dark or boundless in the light cycles? Take shape. Your life choices didn't define you, they shaped you. And anyone who exercises knows they can restore strength and change their shape. We all get injuries from time to time, emotional, physical, material. We cling to pains of the mind and body like trusted friends who always tune in because they do. Some people who have lost limbs have experienced phantom limb pain. Mental pain is as real or more real than physical pain if your focus is consumed by it. If you feel broken down by life, take the time to heal. Notice if you are stuck in mental stories creating phantom pain presently. Healing happens when you create space and attend to what hurts. Take time to notice what needs of yours are not fulfilled and consider what fulfillment of them will look like and feel like to you. Your mind and body are your greatest resources, supported by your ever-present unconscious mind. How have your curious child mind and temperamental teenage mind been feeling lately? How are they forming? Would they benefit from practicing more loving, confident, giving postures? The severity and frequency of emotional, physical injury ranges from person to person. Tolerance for violence or misalignments ranges as well. If you are in a victim orientation, you are at risk of taking on other people's problems as your own. Victims to life are often competent and capable. They enjoy giving, but do it at the cost of themselves because they aren't clear on their worth. They are liable to control through worrying, managing, helping. We can't control others. We can only understand them according to our own internal guiding spirit. When we help others in a way they can help themselves, we actually send the message we don't believe in their capabilities or we know better. If we know better, they know less. You may think you know what's better for someone's life, but they have to receive that understanding in their own way for it to change their shape. Let life experience be the teacher. Not everyone is ready to graduate from a present energy pattern and take the form that you want. Learn to regulate yourself, not others. Let others change form at their own pace. Focus on your energy and be wise. Take your shape intentionally. Abusers are on guard, never fully transparent with their motives, often not even to themselves, wanting to gain from others with little or no regard to mutual benefit. They feel entitled to the resources, whatever they may be, time, energy, money, emotional states. They work in the dark, not in the light. When you hide aspects of yourself because you think if others knew, they wouldn't accept you, you, my friend, are hiding in darkness. That is a dissociated way of connection. If you think your partner will leave you because you cheated so you don't tell them, you are manipulating their goodwill for your gain. That's abusive. The depth of darkness and hiding ranges, but even surface hiding and editing creates inner-outer incongruence. What do you hide from others so that you can continue accessing their cultivated resources? Notice the energy exchange in relationships. Does it feel balanced? If you are stuck in the victim-abuser dance cycle, know it's your attention to the energy that keeps recalling it into your life. It's often back and forth dance of you hurt me, I hurt you. Where you put your attention and focus is what matters most. You are a co-creator. Consciously give and receive with mutual care and respect for others and their resources, as well as your own. If you can't, space. Practice flexibility. Flexibility of mind and body or rigidity of mind and body are deeply connected. You can choose to move lovingly through discomfort in your body, breathing, knowing you are allowing your energy to move and replenish. Trust the body. The conscious mind keeps you bound in fantasy land or catastropheville. The subconscious mind is bonded to beliefs producing the feelings of your fictional storyline. Quiet the storyline as you move into your body. Communicate to your body in its language, movement, and feeling. Feel your energy, the feeling of many varying sensations throughout your entire body. Your attention quietly moves through different areas of tension you've held tightly for long enough. Tighten, feel it, and release. Don't seek to understand it. Seek to experience and feel it. Understanding follows the space between experiences. Process. Allow, surrender, align, practice ASAP. Your conscious child mind doesn't always care to think of the most responsible, nutritious ways to nurture embodiment. It wants all the sweets, all the physical treats. Stretch beyond pleasure. Work through discomfort and build strength and flexibility of mind, body, and spirit rooted in universal values. It is incredible what you can learn about yourself by exploring the tension you store in your body. You don't even need a guide. You focus your attention and willingly allow yourself to move your body in ways that stretch into discomfort, but not to the point of pain. Stuck emotional feedback will come up as you move through tension points. Just allow it. Known energy is fluid and changing unless you cling to it. And even then, the clinging strengthens. You strengthen and deepen whatever you focus on. Is your focus knocking you off balance? Still, according to me, approximately 0% of people think balanced exercise is bad for you. Extreme exercise is another story. Movement is life. If you never moved at all, you would have a very narrow experience of life. Movement, meals, music, and meeting with others creates a full spirit of diverse co-creation. We work for so much material when really we are missing what matters most: the health of our mind and body, and the health of our communities and life at large. How we collectively sustain and distribute universal survival needs, and how we co-create congruently with others' nature and our matters of most importance. Energy matters. Albert Einstein said, "We can't solve problems by using the same kind of thinking we used when we created them." Afraid to OD, dude? When we OD mentally, we are in a preference or opinionated disagreement and can't understand the other's state intellectually or energetically. This creates unwanted contraction and holding patterns in the mind and body. Collectively, we are overdue to evolve the fear of opinionated disagreements and foster an atmosphere where diverse understanding of disagreements evolves. Dude, are you ready to dissolve your conditioning that doesn't meet your desired life conditions? If so, you need to learn to be comfortable in the vast array of conditioning and conditions different than your own. Sometimes you have to get really uncomfortable to choose to move. Choose to self-regulate, especially mindfully when in the presence of others. Bodies naturally co-regulate. This is good news, and it can be bad news, and I'm just going off script here for a second to say that this is why you don't have to always use words to shift energy. You can regulate yourself, and through your present embodied attunement, creating peace, you can actually shift relationships to others just simply by remaining in attunement with yourself and regulated yourself. Okay. Remember, people do change all the time and over time, and when they do, you sense it, see it, hear it, feel it thoroughly as their words and actions create energetic alignment. Let's grow, dude. You ready? Forgiveness. Forgiveness is accepting what happened in the past as a consequence of yours and others' conditioning. Forgiveness is not allowing continued access to energy disturbances, but it is having compassion for them. Choose first to be compassionate towards yourself for allowing and being attracted to disruptive energy patterns in your life. This includes people, beliefs, substances, or activities. The cultivated compassion then extends to others who may similarly be experiencing a form of disturbance and dissociation, which is simply seeking love rather than being love. If you are fighting with someone and they are fighting back, you are both dissociated. To what degree and at what cost or benefit to nature's divine intelligence varies greatly. Nurture is nature. Nature is nurture. It is incredibly difficult to forgive an ongoing problem. Many who are afraid of change choose to deny and build resentment for ongoing problems instead of changing them. Passive reactive obedience doesn't lead to forgiveness. It leads to resentment and incongruent life circumstances, lacking love and respect of self and other. Even if you don't want to address your problems, your body and mind will increasingly address you through pain and lack of energy until you listen. Forgiveness is freedom. What you can't forgive, you are bound to. Forgiveness dissolves and transcends the victim-abuser roles, restoring the conscious power of attention and will back to the present. This is why I know I will spend the rest of my life choosing to work towards eliminating suffering within and without. I can't forgive the ongoing abuse of natural resources, and I also can't forgive the way human conscious is abused and conditioned against itself. We go deeply into this in chapter 6, Preconceived. It is my love for life and sensitivity to life that binds me to it. Nurturing the known and unknown. The fear of the unknown is so deep because it is our limited understanding that creates self-perception. We want to know things, especially who we are and who others are. We cling, and in that clinging or attachment, we form identity. The unknown can, and will, dissolve your identity. You find your specialness only to realize it doesn't belong to you. It's just a gift you accept and share or leave unwrapped in the box. Your body is nature's intelligence in unique form. You and only you can choose to nurture the gifts stored in body. Others can try and assist you in nurturing you, but you maintain free will and focused attention. Your friend could prepare nutritious food specific to you, invite you to fulfilling activities tailored to your preferences, provide life-changing information, and ultimately, you have to accept to receive. Be honest with yourself. You know how to be kind. You feel the difference between respect and disrespect. You know when you are sending out positive or negative energy to someone. You know, we all know, yet knowing and evolving is not the same. You know you want to be fulfilled. You even know certain things that would aid you in feeling fulfilled. Strength and body, for example. Yet somehow, despite knowing better, you can't always do better. Despite knowing how or what is healthy to eat, that's not what you crave. Accept that for now. Get curious and uncover the conditioning that is keeping you trapped in conditions you are ready to transmute. Humans are largely unconscious. We use our entire brain, but 90 to 97% of our brain functions subconsciously and unconsciously, meaning we aren't aware of why experience is happening. Do you know why you prefer silence or noise? Do you know why you prefer solitude or connection? Compassion equals compassion. You can't love someone else before you love yourself. False alarm. Think about it. As a baby, you were 100% dependent on the outside world meeting your physical needs to survive. If your parents were unable to meet your survival needs, you would be dead right now. You aren't, and so perhaps they met your physical survival needs, like air, water, body temperature regulation, but not your emotional needs of acceptance, support, and love. You formed your perception of love from outside in. Your identity is tied to how you were treated from 0 to 11. Learning to form compassionate curiosity for experience is what leads to passion for life. If you are struggling to find passion in your life, notice what your heart feels the most compassion for outside of yourself. Cultivate compassion for others cultivates passion and alignment within the self. Co-create equals compassion. Fulfillment is of the heart. When you do something you believe you shouldn't be doing, your heart begins to race. When you are in danger, your heart begins to race. When you are pushing your body particularly hard, your heart begins to race. Our hearts don't like going fast the way our mind does. Our hearts aren't meant to be racing around all the time. The heart loves rhythm. It loves a steady beat. Collective heartbeat. First, we restore our own strength, then our family, then our communities. All the inner lights turned on, growing together in brightness, projecting out steadily, shining as one to collectively return all the love lost to the dark. Allow due conversations with restorative intention to assess and seek to understand all states of being. Once humanity's conditions are fully in the light of the sun, we can knowingly seek the restorative, life-pumping wisdom of nature's collective heartbeat. It is yearning to bring humanity back into alignment with nature's divinely intelligent rhythm. When you pay attention and listen to your heartbeat, its rhythm brings you right into the body's rhythm, the collective's rhythm, the earth's rhythm, the cosmos rhythm, all the sources that sustain embodiment's rhythm. Allow the steady drumming of your heart to bring you deeper and deeper into a state of core understanding. From this peaceful center, it is easy to bring an expanded consciousness of love to your current life affairs. What is really going on in your life, your family life, your friends' lives? How are you really feeling? How are you really impacting matters? It is okay to not be okay. In fact, it is a beautiful place of opportunity. You have the potential to tap into the field of infinite possibilities. Allow yourself. Exist beautifully. It's okay to be yourself in the infinite field of possibilities, also called reality. What if you could be anything here? Do anything here? Explore this thought for a while. Explore the infinite field of possibilities and choose with each conscious breath to manifest that which you desire into existence through attention, will, and action. Pay attention to conscious breathing and the rhythm of your heart. As often as you remember, it is a portal to peace on earth, present embodied attunement, co-creating everywhere. Divine intelligence communicates love to you automatically. It's fought to keep you alive all this time. You don't earn divine love. You have it. It's your body. Choose to tap into the present moment through your breath and heart. Ground reality. As you relax your mind, time slows or speeds up. You really can't tell. Everything is all at once, all the time. Our lives matter. All of our lives, all of diversity, and we are overdue for collective resource restoration. Consider and process, if your survival needs were met, how would you spend your time? And that concludes chapter 4, Restore. Now, part 2 of Resource is next, and I'm just as excited to read it as you guys are. Well, if you are, I don't know. If you've listened to the first 4 chapters, I figure you're still here for a reason. You're into it. Otherwise, if you're not into it, stop wasting your time. Seriously, go do something else that you love. Okay, so part 2, Restoring Inner Value, chapters 5, 6, and 7. I am still creating them very much. It's interesting because I mean, I have obviously the concept for these chapters, and I have a lot of writing that could certainly be included in these chapters. But I'm choosing to delay it because it is about how to come together and how to restore our outer values. And I realized that even in writing the first part of this book, even though I've been writing it for so long, when I actually sat down to write it and said I was doing it, so many experiences started coming to me in real time that really helped me understand and cement the learning. So I do want to just kind of hold off on these chapters, and I'm working on them. I'm working towards having them published, but at the same time, I'm allowing the experiences to come to me. They don't feel done yet because I think I'm still experiencing whatever I need to experience to complete them. So I have a very good feeling it'll be done by October. That's my intention and goal. And if for whatever reason that's not going to be the scoop, then I'll let you guys know and we'll just flow. Everything's always in right timing. And it's very human to want to force things. And I'm learning very much like the rest of us how to just flow with the pressure of internal and external, and how to, cultivate something worth sharing. So I love you guys. Thank you so much. I seriously appreciate you spending the time with these concepts. And yeah, I am a hypnotherapist. I'm happy to schedule one-on-one sessions. In fact, I think working with people is really helpful as this work comes together. So thank you. I love you. We're doing it. We are rising in consciousness together. I feel it every single day. And it's just this cascade effect. Just as you wake up, other people wake up. It's just like, oh, it's so exciting. We're really doing it. Okay, love you. We're doing it. Woo.